Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, I got a teaching for you today that is really kind of a different one. It's kind of so unique, I had a hard time coming up with a title for it. What I want to talk about today is these items, these beliefs that people will say, well, it's not stated in the Bible this way, in exact words, but it's still true. Have you ever heard people say that about a doctrine they hold to? They say, it's not stated in the Bible exactly in these words, but it's still true. Now, just because, I want to warn you, there are some cases where that is true. We're going to go over them. That sometimes a concept is true, even though God's word doesn't say it exactly, because we see the theology of it. But false teachers have found a way to use that mindset to slip in their lies, their heresy, and their false theology. Never let anyone slip in false doctrines saying God's word says it, but maybe not exactly, unless you test it. Be a Berean, test all things, lest you will be deceived in this day of deception, including all my teachings. I strive for truth, not trying to deceive anybody, but test me to the word of God always. So today, I just want to explore a few of these where we can rightly test to see some that do show up in God's word and others that are clearly so far off base. So first, we're going to cover the few there are that when we rightly examine scriptures, we see, yep, that's in God's word. Let me give you some examples. This is going to make sense as we go. The word Trinity. The word Trinity means three, tri, Trinity. It's not in God's word. You won't find it anywhere in Scripture. But when we study Scripture, we clearly see the concept of three in one. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all throughout Scripture. I'll give you a couple examples. Genesis 1:26, when the Bible says, let us make man. And Jesus' baptism, Matthew 3:13 and 17, we clearly see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's an example. Trinity's not in the Bible, but we see the concept there, so it's true. How about another one? Rapture. The word rapture does not appear in any manuscripts or Bibles that I know of. I imagine there's some it probably does, but you take a King James Bible, the word rapture does not appear. But what does rapture mean? It means a taking up. And we do see in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says this, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be with the Lord. So the word rapture is clearly not in the Word of God, but we see the concept of a rapture. By the way, it's not a pre-trib rapture like all these false evangelicals believe. It's a end of tribulation rapture. Jesus said he comes at end of tribulation. Paul says at the last trump. I've got articles on that at the teaching blog. So we see Trinity in the Word of God. The concept is there, even though the word's not there. We see rapture is clearly taught in God's Word, even though that word is not there. How about this saying? In the world, not of it. You hear people say that all the time? Actually, there's not one Bible verse that actually says that at all. Now, is that in God's word? Well, no verse says that exactly. We know, per John 17:16 and 17, Jesus says, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we know as saints, we're not of the world. So we know that. And then Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 5:9 and 10. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to have company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs be go out of the world. So what Paul is saying is, he was warning them not to hang out with sinful believers. He wasn't saying, you got to stay away from every person that is sinful in the world. Paul says you'd have to leave the world. Those two verses alone back up the idea that we're in the world, but we're not of it. Many verses tell us to be holy. Romans 12 says don't conform. So in the world, not of the world, is another one of those terms It's not in God's word exactly, but we clearly see the concept of those things. Amen? So there's a few like that. You could probably think of a few more. There's not a lot, but there's a few. Next, let's take the opportunity and talk about some of the ones, all right? We're going to look at some of the ones that are famous and popular where people say, oh, it doesn't say this exactly in God's word in these words, but it's still there, all right? They slip them in. They slip in their error. They twist God's word to add their false theology when it clearly is not stated that way in theology, in the word of God, in the concept. Let's get to a couple examples of this, or four or five of them. Ready? The most famous one, faith alone. Yeah, this is the most famous one. False evangelicals that are supporting Luther, whether they say they are or not, will tell you, well, there's no scripture that says faith alone, but it's there in God's word. We're saved by faith alone. Folks, there's no scripture that even comes close to promoting that you're saved by just a faith alone. In fact, James 2 says, the only place in the Bible, James 2, it says you're not saved by faith alone or faith only. You're saved by your faith and your works. Your works justify your faith. You can go read James 2. So nowhere in God's words does it say faith alone. This is a false gospel. The gospel is faith in Jesus Christ, shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection. Repentance coming out of the sin in the world, all sin in the world, false man-made religion. Be born again by the Spirit of God. You must be born again. Holiness and obedience is the fruit of a genuine saving faith that must be backed up. Jesus said you will produce much fruit. If not, you're cut off and thrown in the fire. And you must endure in a saving faith. So that's the biblical gospel. Faith alone is a Luther lie. It does not qualify as, well, it's kind of in God's word. No, it's not. It's a lie, it's heresy, and it's false doctrine. How about this next one? Another famous one. Grace alone. Again, this is another evangelical heresy. Not one verse says grace alone. The Bible says we're saved by grace, right? But it doesn't say alone. We know that faith comes in. We know that obedience comes in. We know that endurance comes in. We know that holiness, without such, no man will see God, according to Hebrews 12. Many other things come into play. Grace alone is another Luther lie. The evangelicals buy into it so they can stay in their sin, their worldliness, and their false ways. Not one scripture verse even hints of grace alone. Yes, we're saved by grace. We need the perfect work of Christ. We can't get there on our works alone. Our works back up our genuine faith. Our works are the fruit of what God's doing in us. And if we live in willful sin, they're not covered by the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10:26 tells us that. So we must be very, very careful, always testing these false teachers. Once saved, always saved. There's the next one. How about that? Once saved, always saved. We hear all these evangelical types, Calvinist types, say, oh, it's in God's word, even though you can't really find it in those words. Not one verse says, once saved, always saved. Not one verse teaches you're saved always. The Bible always talks about belief, endurance, faith, proving with fruit, works, holiness. John the Baptist says, show works worthy of repentance. That's the complete biblical gospel in the picture. Once saved, always saved is another one of these heretical lies. Raise your hand, say a prayer, just believe in Jesus, go to heaven no matter what. Jesus did all the work. No, we're in a covenant. A covenant has two parties. Jesus did his perfect work. Now we follow after him in faith, by grace. We enter into this covenant and we strive, Jesus said strive in Luke 13, in holiness, in obedience, in endurance, producing fruit, walking after this glorious Savior. He did not come to save us so we can live in our sin. He came to call us out of our sin by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. What a glorious Savior we have. Once saved, always saved is a lie. It is not taught anywhere in God's word. Doesn't qualify as, well, it's kind of in there, but not in those words. No, it's not in there at all. I have many articles on my teaching blog that teach against faith only, grace alone, faith alone, and once saved, always saved. Go to don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, look up those topics. God's word eviscerates all of those false ways. How about this one? The Roman Catholic Mass. Yeah, I witnessed a lot of Catholics, and they pretend or try to tell you, well, the Mass, you know, it's not in the Bible exactly, but, you know, what we do, and it's kind of in God's Word. No, it's not anywhere in God's Word. This Mass where they're crucifying Christ over and over, where men are controlling it, doing these man-made traditions of the Eucharist and confessions and all types of things that they do that are built into their man-made work system. This falls under Colossians 2:8, philosophies of man, not after Christ. Don't fall for it. The Mass is nowhere in Scripture, not even close to this. How about this one? This one's both Roman Catholic and evangelical. Christ's Mass. Yeah, the Mass of Christ. It started with the Roman Catholics or a Roman emperor. Then the Roman Catholics made it famous. The evangelicals brought it with them with heretic, murderous-minded, baby-baptizing Luther brought Christmas with him. Now, in the Bible, we see the account of Jesus' birth and everyone going to glorify the coming king. Nowhere does it instruct us to do an annual event. None of the saints, Jesus didn't, none of the disciples, no one kept an annual event. It was a one-time thing that was done one time. It's a historical record. Done. Now we focus on the risen Savior. Yep, we can think about his birth, but nowhere does God give us the commandment to keep this pagan holiday that was really a merging of pagan Yule to Christianity way back in the Roman Empire to merge pagans and Christians together, and the evangelicals follow it today. And this one falls under Matthew 15, where Jesus says, you keep your man-made traditions and you're void. Your worship is in vain and void because you do so. You won't find Christmas anywhere in the Scriptures or the practice of it, only historical record of Christ's birth. How about this next one? Another pagan holiday, Easter. Once again, drummed up, Easter means Ishtar. It's a pagan holiday, goes way back. It was instituted by the Roman Catholics. Martin Luther brought it with him. Not one Bible verse tells us of an annual celebrating of the resurrection of Christ. We are to preach the gospel and live the gospel every day. And when we take the Lord's Supper, we're to proclaim his death till he comes as often as we do it, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. Not one scripture verse, not one historical record, nowhere shows us the early New Testament saints practicing pagan Ishtar, Easter. Now, it does appear in the King James Bible one time, and that's a mistake in the King James Bible. Everywhere else, that same word is translated Passover. It should have been translated Passover there as well. There was no Easter at the time of the first century New Testament body as it is known today. So Easter appears nowhere, should not appear anywhere in God's word, not a practice, not God ordained, not for God's true people. So don't let people tell you, well, it's kind of in there, but maybe not exactly. No, it's not in there anywhere whatsoever. Last one for you, the Apostles' Creed. I found out many, many years ago, this is a man-made doctrine. It's not from the apostles. I was appalled as a brand new baby believer to find out the Apostles' Creed didn't come from the apostles at all. This is made up from a bunch of uninspired heretic men. It's not inspired by God. And yet people treat it as if God handed down these creeds like he did the Ten Commandments on the tablets. No, it's a lie that it came from God and the apostles. Revelation 22, 14 and 15 warns of lies and liars not entering heaven. This is lying. This is deception. Also, they use these creeds to eliminate all the other doctrines of God and say, well, if we just agree on these creeds, we can all have unity. Causes ecumenicalism, causes sin, waters down the truth of God's word. It is not of the Father's word, not even close. Nowhere can you find it sanctioned, ordained by God. So again, when we study this out, this mindset of, well, it's in God's word, but not exactly. When you study it out, you'll see that these heresies, these false teaching, these man-made traditions, they're introduced by wicked men and by Satan. They're not found in God's word. Some things, as I showed you, can be proved in God's word. Not a problem. These other things, they're trying to slip them in by saying, see, just like Trinity, men use that excuse all the time with me. Well, like the word Trinity, it's not there, but it's true. Just because that's true about Trinity doesn't mean it's true about faith alone, grace alone, once saved, always saved, because those are not taught in God's word whatsoever. So I hope those few examples, and there's many, many more we could cover, will help you to see when we test them to God's word, they fail. And this is why they won't sit down and have a reasonable conversation and go in the scriptures. They're not truth seekers. They're just trying to defend false evangelicalism. So be on guard, again, because a few concepts are true without God's word saying it exactly. Don't fall for their tactic. Always be discerning. Satan's workers, false teachers, man-made traditions will try to slip you up. They'll try to bring you lies and heresy, but we must walk in the pureness of doctrine. Doctrine means instructions. Here's a great warning. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap up to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Hey, Christmas, Easter, faith alone, grace alone, once saved, always saved. Fables, not taught in God's holy word. So I hope this kind of strange topic just kind of puts you on guard for the people trying to slip heresy in, telling you it's there when it's not really there. Be a Berean. Test the word of God. Test everything I tell you. Study to be approved. And you will not be deceived. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, he leads you to the word. You discern rightly. In John 16, he says that Jesus said, the Spirit will come to teach you all truth. I believe that. I'll stake my life on that. I walk in that. We can know all truth, and we don't have to be deceived by Roman Catholicism, evangelicalism, our flesh, the world, or Satan. I hope that's been a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Again, go to don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, look up the articles on Calvinism, once saved, always saved, faith alone, grace alone, Christmas, Easter, thousands of articles in there to help you. Very few things are ever kind of, sort of in God's word, unless it says it. It kind of says it. Very few of those are actually true. Most of them are lies that have been introduced by the enemy and false man-made religion. Jesus said, walk in spirit and truth, John 4:24. I built my ministry on those words of Christ. I'm going to encourage you to do that and follow after and obey by the gospel. This is my brother James. We love you all. Till God lets me come to you again next time, I hope you have a glorious day. Walking in the truth, don't fall for the lies and deception that are not in God's word. We love you all. May God be praised.